This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Flashback Friday edition of the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. As he rapidly approaches 1,000 episodes of this podcast, he has handpicked individual episodes that he feels is going to be good review for you to prepare you for the future by listening to the past. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
This is your host, Jason Hartman. Today, we've got an exciting show with, it's hard to title this guy because he's got quite a few titles, but it's Frank McKinney. He is a very interesting guy, an upscale real estate developer, building incredible mansions and creating all kinds of value where really there was none before, kind of out of thin air. You'll like this show from many perspectives. It's really not necessarily a real estate show, although we're going to touch on that, but it's about marketing, spiritual growth, and philanthropy, all kinds of great things, motivation, just some neat stuff. We're going to cover quite a wide range of topics with Frank today. And before we do that, our next show has Dr. Dennis Whately, one of my all-time favorite mentors, where we'll talk about the psychology of winning and the seeds of greatness. And I discovered Dr. Whately at age 17, and he really did change my life. So I think you'll like that show. That's one of our every 10th shows that's on a totally non-financial topic. But as I always say, it always relates to finances in some ways. We are moving into our new office tomorrow, so I'm very, very excited. They finished putting down the carpeting today and just getting the final touches on it. It's real exciting. And you know what? I'll post a picture of that probably on our website. And it has a huge conference or sort of seminar training room. Maybe we'll have some events there coming up soon. And speaking of events, our next Creating Wealth in Today's Economy Boot Camp is on February 20th. That's a Saturday, February 20th. Register at jasonhartman.com. And the Masters Weekend, of course, March 6th and 7th. We're going to do one day on real estate and finance, where we'll have asset protection and all kinds of gurus on that subject, area managers, property managers, etc. And then we will do a second day, the Sunday, which will be more focused on internet marketing, growing a home-based business or a small to medium-sized business. And I think you'll really like this Masters Weekend. It's the first one we've done this way, so it's real special. In one weekend, you're going to learn all about creating wealth through real estate and creating income through a side business that may well grow into be a big business for you. So that's it. Let's go to the interview with real estate artist, marketing guru, and philanthropist and motivational guy, Frank McKinney. Here's the interview. It's my pleasure to welcome Frank McKinney to the show. He is a real high-end marketing genius. He has got a tremendous rags-to-riches story. He's going to talk today about bubbles and timing cycles in the market, and also about that very important spiritual and mental mindset that can lead to success or failure in business and in real estate. And he's just a really, really interesting guy. I've heard him interviewed before on other shows, and really want to welcome Frank McKinney to our show today. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Fantastic opportunity to be here, Jason. I know some of the guests that you've had, and I know you're heard around the world, so I'm honored to be sitting on the same stage.
Well, we're honored to have you.
The stage we're sitting on, by the way, for those who are tuning in, I am talking to Jason from my oceanfront treehouse office. This is where I've written all my books from, 5 books, and where I design all of our oceanfront homes from. And so it's a beautiful setting. It's 23 feet above sea level. So for those of you who are listening in a place that's cold and dreary, just think of me sitting up here looking out over the Atlantic Ocean.
You're making our listeners very envious there, Frank. But you've got a tremendous story, and congratulations on your success. You have taken and built such a phenomenal reputation for really creating a whole sort of image and a just a persona that markets these really, really high-end properties. And right now, you are close to selling, I believe, the most expensive green or environmentally friendly home in the world, right?
Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, let's delineate a little bit for your listeners. I'm the creator of these magnificent one-of-a-kind oceanfront homes, really artistry that can be found on that sun-drenched canvas known as the Atlantic Ocean. And I do it, Jason, all on speculation. So that's my risk, my dollars at risk there. I have no partners. It's me, the bank, and the IRS. I've been at it now since 1986, starting back then with a $50,000 fixer-upper in a pretty bad part of town down here in West Palm Beach, Florida. And now, you know, almost 23 years later, we just finished, again, on speculation in a market like this, the largest at over 15,000 square feet and the most opulent at over $29 million home that's been certified, triple certified green by the United States Green Building Council, the Florida Green Building Coalition, and also Energy Star for Homes. And so I think what's great for your listeners to tune into is, okay, so wow, you know, Frank, you're taking this huge risk. Again, I'm building on speculation. For those of you who don't know, I am building, I've been creating these houses for all these years without knowing when I'm going to get paid. There is no buyer in mind, no buyer waiting, I should say, when we're finished with these homes. So kind of like the Field of Dreams. You know, build it and they will come. And that's what I'm hoping here. Or that's what I'm believing. I have believed it for nearly 25 years. And so the most important thing that I've become familiar with, that I have embraced, I can't say that I've mastered it, Jason, but that is this exercising of one's risk tolerance, one's risk threshold, exercising that risk threshold like a muscle. You know, eventually it does become stronger and able to withstand greater pressure. So for the common man that says, well, how in the world can you take this risk in this economy, building a 15,000 square foot, $29 million home on speculation without a buyer? And the answer is quite simple. You know, I didn't start with a $29 million house. I started with a $50,000 fixer upper. I see you've interviewed some great people. And one of my favorite authors is the author of Blink.
Oh, Blink, Malcolm Gladwell. Sure.
Malcolm Gladwell. Sorry, I drew a blank there. Malcolm Gladwell. And in Blink, and The Tipping Point, and his new book,
Outliers, I think. That's the last one.
And Outliers, he says, you have to become an expert at anything, but Gladwell says, you must apply it yourself for 10,000 hours.
Right.
And if you do the math, that's 5 years of a career. And really, for the first 5 years of my career, I didn't do a house worth more than $100,000, Jason.
So you were just doing
really
little cheap fixer-uppers. That's an amazing start.
Taking it to the bank day in and day out. Taking my lunch pail to work day in and day out, nothing flashy, you know, not overindulging in debt, not overindulging in lifestyle, not charging it today and paying for it never. I live a very disciplined life. I kind of sacrifice today for a better tomorrow. And now, you know, turning the page 23 years later, we're able to take what is perceived as being enormous risk because we took so many smaller risks many, many years ago.
That's fantastic, Frank. So tell the listeners, if you would, when you went from that first 5 years, or as Gladwell puts it, the 10,000 hours that you put in, and for most entrepreneurs, they probably do the 10,000 hours in about 2.5 or 3 years, I would say, because they love what they do and they're working all the time. But work is really play for someone who has passion about it. But in that first 5 years, what was the jump? How did you suddenly go from $100,000 fixer-upper houses that you were buying and selling on into the next, what was the next move up, and how did that occur?
You know, here's how it evolved, and I want the listeners to pay very close attention to the fact that when I was doing those smaller homes, Jason, I wasn't longing for something more. I was very content with creating and building these little first-time home buyer homes. I basically was taking people who were renting the American dream, and I was teaching them how to own it for the first time. And what a wonderful way to be in business, to teach people how to own the American dream, and then to provide them with a piece of the American dream. And after 5 years of getting really good at it, and we were doing 20 or 30 houses a year and doing quite well, you know, had nice margins on our little sales, I turned to my wife and I said, honey, you know, we're pretty good at this. I get this. I am now seeking a greater challenge. I don't want to deviate outside of my niche as far as the real estate market, but let's simply add a zero. Let's simply add one zero to the acquisition. So if I was buying houses for $75,000 and selling them for $100, let's buy one for $750,000. Let's fix it up and let's sell it instead of for $1 million. Let's sell it for $2 million. Let's create a million dollar margin. And I felt after hundreds of smaller transactions that this was a natural progression. And when you step back and look at it, it was the same application, Jason. It just was on the ocean instead of in a burgeoning or struggling neighborhood. And it was just 1-0. And that's all I did is I had built up a decent savings. And I didn't over leverage. So it was easy for me to go to the bank and borrow the money I needed to complete the project, because I put a lot of my own money where my mouth was. I didn't believe in other people's money. Matter of fact, there's a long chapter in my new book, Burst This, that talks about it's titled, as a matter of fact, the most obscene four-letter word. And it's not the F word or the S word. It's the D word. It's the debt word. And because I managed my debt very well, I was able to take on that first project as this. It was kind of both evolutionary and revolutionary as far as me making that big jump. I didn't jump from a $100,000 house to a $200,000 or a $300,000. I jumped from a $100,000 house to a $2 million house because I felt I'd cut my teeth, I'd walked the walk, and I felt that I was ready.
That's great. So, Frank, where did you go after $2 million? Did you do several of those and get kind of comfortable playing in that pond and then go up to $5 million, $10 million? I mean, was it just sort of that progression like that?
The first house we did, the $2.2 million house that we did, Jason, was in 1991. And since 91, we have done 36 homes on the direct oceanfront, 36 projects, 36 properties. So that's more or less two a year. And we very slowly went from two to four, and then six and a half, I remember, then an eight. And then we cut through or broke through that $10 million barrier back in 1996. And then we continued to slowly but surely escalate up to where the most expensive one we've done was a $50 million house back in 2004. And so we've kind of bounced back and forth between we haven't gone below $7 million since that very first project, with the average price of a home that we've done being around $15 million. The interesting thing, and the longest chapter in my new book, Burst This, and we're going to talk about the thesis behind this book.
Right. I'm going to ask you about that in just a moment, but go ahead.
But the longest chapter is the marketing chapter. And so how is it, Frank, that now I'm selling to an infinitesimally small percentage of people that can afford my artistry. And we're talking about, 25 to 30,000 people out of a worldwide population of 6.5 billion that can afford what we do for a living. And so we have become very keen on our ability to, as you referenced in the introduction, to brand our homes. I will tell you that I'm not a builder. I'm not a developer. I'm not a flipper. I'm not a rehabber. I'm not a contractor. I'm not a wholesaler. I'm an artist, plain and simple. And the artistry that I create is the type that people can live in. I mean, Van Gogh, Renoir, Monet, you can hang them on your wall, but a Frank McKinney home is unlike anything you've ever seen before. You get an emotional return from living in the art, and most often, Jason, our buyers, our owners that end up selling their house after whatever 5-6 years, they get a financial return and end up making more money selling the house than I did selling it to them. So it's important for the proprietor, the entrepreneur, almost regardless of field, to consider themselves like an artist approaches his craft. It's kept it fresh for me for all these years, and it really has created a brand that people long for.
That's fantastic. Well, Frank, you've got two great books. They're both out this year. First, I want to ask you about Burst This, which is about bubbles, Frank McKinney's bubble-proof real estate strategies. And then I want to ask you about your more spiritual book entitled The Tap. So tell us a bit more about Burst This. I mean, you say that people, they create their own bubbles. First, maybe the market cycle thing that you've studied, and then how people do it psychologically, right?
Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday.
Yeah, here's why I decided to write this book. I had written two other books before, Make It Big, 49 Secrets for Building a Life of Extreme Success, which was a kind of philosophical book with real estate anecdotes sprinkled throughout. The second book was was Frank McKinney's Maverick Approach to Real Estate Success. And that was a kind of a 20-year ride from the very first property through the first 20 years of my career. First, this was born from my just disdain and growing tired of hearing about the bubble and the negativity surrounding the real estate market. And so what I did is I went back and I studied six distinct real estate cycles that took place over the last 35 years, where my mission was to sift out this kind of critical, the recurring trends, you know, that highlight when significant opportunities are going to present themselves, while more importantly, signaling where history is going to repeat itself. And these cycles, how long do they last? What brings them on? And ultimately, what to look for when we're about to come out of one, which we are right now. That was one of the most, and I just began to think, you know what, as I studied, listen, I went through four of those six cycles. The other two I didn't go through because I wasn't in the business. I was too young. And I did very well in some of these cycles because I didn't buy into the bubble mentality. I didn't over leverage. I created my own market. I created my own brand. I wasn't a lemming with, you know, I took a contrarian approach. As a matter of fact, the whole first section talks about the importance of being a confident contrarian. And really the book, now I think it's refreshing because there are a lot of books out there. I think you've interviewed some authors that kind of predicted the crash and talk about how bad it's going to be. And I believe, that's fine, we've seen that happen, but how do you bubble-proof your real estate portfolio? How do you take advantage of these cycles? And how truly are most bubbles self-created, just like most opportunities are self-created?
So how is that?
Well, first of all, when I look to make money in real estate, I go in the opposite direction of the old tried and true location, location, location. And I know that sounds crazy, but hey, if you want to buy a home and be comfortable and live in a nice neighborhood and nice schools and all that, that's great. Follow it. If you want to have a nice vacation home, follow the location, location. But when I look back over hundreds of transactions, the times I made the most money were when I went in that opposite direction. And I went into neighborhoods that people wouldn't go into, or on the oceanfront. You know, I have never done a project in the town of Palm Beach. I've done plenty in Delray Beach. I've done them in Manalapan. I've done them in Gulfstream. I've done them in Ocean Ridge. You've probably never heard of those towns. You've heard of Palm Beach. You've heard of Boca Raton. Those towns that I just referenced are right in between. So I'm a firm believer in going and making a market where it hadn't been made before.
Now, so the question that kind of begs in my thinking, though, is that you have the power to do that because you were such a big force. I mean, you were either doing a large number of transactions or you were doing a few really high-end transactions. And that is, of course, risky what you did, I would say. But is that possible for the small investor who just wants to buy one or two houses?
Listen, I bought one or two houses for the first 3 or 4 years, Jason.
Okay.
I mean, that's all. I never look to the next deal. I'm so hyper consumed with the one I'm working on. That's why, hey, listen, over what is that, 18 years, I've only done 36 transactions. That's only two a year.
Wow,
I mean,
that's amazing.
Lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the dollars were big, but I'm a firm believer in carving your niche a little wider and a little deeper than most, but staying within that niche and don't be distracted or deviated outside or be tempted to deviate outside. And so in times like we're in now, these are the millionaire maker days. These are the low-hanging fruit days. And as Buffett says, you know, when everybody's afraid, it's time to be greedy. And everybody's greedy, it's time to be afraid. Well, look at, you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is. Just last week, he bought Burlington Northern Railway for $34 billion. And if you look, you know, you look at people that this is the time to embrace the opportunities, i.e. the risks that are out there, because you'll be handsomely rewarded. That's what Burstis talks about.
I couldn't agree more, Frank. I think that, of course, you need to be careful always and you need to be prudent, but these are the times in these quote-unquote bad economies where the opportunities are just so, so present, whereas in good times, it's just really hard to find an opportunity. When the market is booming, everyone has picked the first 10 levels of low-hanging fruit, and now there's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there. As long as someone does the plan and does it correctly, a lot of opportunities. And a corollary to that Warren Buffett saying is J. Paul Getty's, buy when everybody's selling, sell when everybody's buying. So would you consider yourself a bit of a contrarian then?
That's the first part of a four-part book. Part number one, if I think you have your book right there, you open it, The Confident Contrarian.
Right.
And that takes some intestinal fortitude. But once you practice it, and you sensitize yourself to the to the trend that is upon us, and you see it for what it is, and you have the belief, the hope, and the faith that your decision to say yes more than no to opportunities that are out there are going to pay dividends, not immediately. That's why there's a chapter in the other book we're going to talk about that talks about over-spreadsheeting your life. And one of the negatives of the information society that we live in, Jason, is this over-researching, this over-Googling, this don't spreadsheet your life to death. Because what people do, and especially in scary times, and mind you, the media has created times that are scarier now than they actually appear, or they appear scarier than they actually are. Believe me, that is something why I advocate you creating your own reality, and not following that media created frenzy, the fear that's out there. But here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing when you do that. You are psychologically, subliminally looking for a way or a reason to say no. That's what you're doing. Here's the problem with the information that's out there, Jason. You'll find the reason. You will find the reason, and you'll say, there it is. I found it. So, nope, we're not going to do that project. Let's just go ahead and sit in the cubicle the rest of our lives
right.
And play the 9-to-5 game.
Yeah, that's really sad. And you know what that reminds me of, Frank? And I can't remember the title of the movie. Well, maybe it was called Yes Man. I'm not sure if you saw it with Jim Carrey, wasn't it?
You know
what really blew my mind about that little comedic movie is that it just amazes me. So many of my friends and so many clients that I interact with, they're so consumed with saying no to things, where if they would just say yes, yeah, things might go wrong, but just get out of your comfort zone. And when he had to just say yes to everything, look at the sort of opportunities that opened up in his life. I mean, the road was windy a little bit, and at first it may have seemed like, oh, saying yes was the dumb thing. But ultimately, a lot of things really work out by just saying yes to them.
I have a couple of shorter chapters in the Burstis book that talks about celebrating each humble victory as a triumphant achievement. What does that do? I mean, small, humble victories, not asking your wife to marry you when she says yes, or having your first child, or doing your first mega real estate deal. Small, little, humble victories, and considering them triumphant achievements, because what that does, Jason, is it builds confidence. And when we have confidence, we will say yes more than no. When we say yes more than no, what are we doing? We're exercising our risk tolerance, like that muscle eventually becomes stronger and is able to withstand greater pressure.
And we're getting out of our comfort zone. Very good advice, Frank. Anything else on Burst This before we talk about the TAP?
Well, I think that it's a very, very timely book. It was supposed to be a book that was 250 pages long. It's over 376 pages because I really went deep into these cycles so that you can use this anecdotally as a guide and a compass when it comes to either buying your first investment property, stepping up your margins, if you will, or even buying your first home.
Tell us about the TAP. Here you get more into the spiritual and the psychological side of success in life and success in real estate, too. What's it all about?
Well, you can apply all the platforms and the suggestions in the Burst This book or some of the other guests that you've interviewed that have all these wonderful nuggets, wisdom nuggets of success. And then at the end of the day, what's it all for? And I went to four high schools in 4 years, and it wasn't because my father was in the military. I was asked to leave every single one of them. I came out with a 1.8 GPA and didn't have the benefit of pursuing a formal education. Came down to Florida with a $50 bill and started digging sand traps on a golf course by hand. And here, so many years later, we're this real estate artist and building these beautiful homes. Why? And I went back and studied. And I studied my mentors, people I look up to. And I came away with a very, very interesting conclusion. If you look at the cover of the book, The Tap, it is the hand of God coming down from the Sistine Chapel, and instead of touching Adam's finger like it does in the painting, Michelangelo's painting, it's touching you on the shoulder. And in The Tap, Jason, I expand upon a wonderful life mantra. Regardless of your religious preference, or even if you have one, There's a great passage from the Gospel of Luke 12:48 that says, in paraphrasing it, to whom much is entrusted, much will be expected. And so why is it that certain people's prayers for more, and let's face it, if you pray, you do pray some form of prayer for more wealth, health, happiness, love, peace, relationships for somebody you love or yourself. And I was curious, why are my mentors, like people I look up to that seem to have it all, why? why were they having their prayers for more answered when mine were going unanswered or taking forever to be answered? And the reason became very clear to me. God rewards responsible stewards. Those who are responsible for the blessings that they've been given, time, whatever time, talent, and treasure blessings that they have, and are responsible enough to share those with those less fortunate, who hadn't succeeded at their level, those are the ones who had the prayer for more answered. So, you know, I contend, and I prove it in the book. And this, the book is for those who want to succeed in the business of life, okay? And that's the most important business that we're in. You can't succeed in business and fail in your personal life. You can't live that double life. It doesn't last. That's the flash in the pan variety of success. And so in the tap, I teach the reader how to sensitize themselves to what I refer to as life's great tap moments when God does come down, lay his finger on your shoulder, and say, Jason, I'm calling you to more.
Thank you for listening to the Creating Wealth Show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and we appreciate you following the show. We have many, many episodes, hundreds of episodes, and some of the older episodes have been archived and placed in our members section, and that applies to this one. So we include a sample that's about 25 minutes long, and then for the rest of the show, you can go to our members section at jasonhartman.com. Many of the other shows are still in their full-length, complete version. However, some of the shows, like this one, are in our members section where you can hear the show in its entirety. And again, you just need to go to jasonhartman.com and you can get the full show there in the members section, plus a whole bunch of other great members benefits and resources, whether it be documents, forms, contracts, articles, other video and audio content. Just a great resource. So be sure to join as a member at jasonhartman.com. And thanks again for listening to the Creating Wealth Show.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.